Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
You know what? That's why this is making me angry, because goddamn if he did not make me watch fucking Skyrim. Like, I hate Skyrim. I don't want to watch someone play Skyrim. No. Like, sit on the couch and be like, look how cool this is. Don't you want to play? Don't you want to make your own little lizard person?
So then you understand this completely. Then you've had this feeling. That's exactly what he's going through.
One-to-one comparison, and you're complaining that you don't like doing it.
Okay.
Exhibit A.
Fair.
Welcome to another episode of the Personality Hires Podcast, your favorite coworker's favorite podcast, maybe, depending on how good and funny we are every week. We're all coworkers who met on a popular radio show that doesn't exist anymore because our boss hates us. Well, he's not our boss anymore. But our former boss hates us, wanted us to be...
Yeah, it really does.
I don't know. He hates us. He wants us to be poor and have to leave our homes and start new lives. So that's why we decided to keep our relevancy with this podcast. I'm Abby, and I'm joined by my former coworker, Jackson.
Hello.
I'm joined by Rebecca.
Hi.
And I'm joined by Mikey.
Hooligans doing hula hands.
Mikey has a very exciting update for his new job coming up towards the end of the episode. But before we get into that, I need to tell you guys what's
going
on. Yeah. Are you not going to talk about starting your new job tomorrow? No?
No. Okay. I wasn't going to, but I mean, it's happening. All this and more coming up, guys.
all this and more coming up. But before we get into that, we do need to talk about what's happening on my For You page right now, because per usual, I cannot be the only one who's privy to this content. So I would like to know, do you have a niche celebrity that, like, oh, I love them, but I'm not sure there's other people that would want to gather and celebrate this person with me?
I feel like mine would be a TikTok animal, like a famous animal influencer, a beloved pet or something like that, because otherwise I can't really think of anything.
Like Mudang?
Yes, Mudang for sure, but no,
Kermit, you love Kermit.
Yeah. There are so many famous cats on TikTok, and then they die.
I don't know the guy's name. It's a guy that I follow on TikTok. His thing is, he says do you ever want to eat a sausage, but you wish that it tasted like Mountain Dew, and he'll put three full sausages in a bottle of Mountain Dew, and he swallows them whole. And but his whole he can't help himself the whole time. He says, "Right here, guys." So he's like, "You ever wish there was a sausage in Mountain Dew? Right here, guys. Because today I'm about to." It's always just right here, guys. And I really love him, man.
Abby, is your question more around mainstream celebrities and having sort of a niche following for them, or are you talking about also niche influencers that have their own sort of platform?
I mean, who are you a fan of that you would consider niche? Like somebody that you would never just be like, oh yeah, I'm a big fan of X, Y, and Z, because they're gonna be like, what? Who? What? Why are you a fan of them?
Mm. Okay, there's a girl on TikTok. Her name is Cami Reviews, and she reviews fragrances and gummies, candy. And I love her so much, mostly because her voice is so soothing. So if I could go to a meetup where we just eat gummies and she reads me a story, uh-huh, that would be kind of ideal. So
perfect,
that's
example.
Okay. Cool.
Perfect
okay.
Example. Bob Ross is another example. You're Bob Ross's biggest fan.
Interesting.
Dozens of us.
I do have another one real quick. Sorry. There's a girl. I have no idea how I started following her. She is not famous. Her name's Marissa. But I've been following her for probably 7 years now. She's always going through something bad and posts all about it. So I just follow this lady's life endlessly. I'll never unfollow her.
Perfect. These are perfect examples, because I have to let you in that I have been following this girl named Heidi on my For You page. Heidi is a niche influencer that I've seen a couple of videos of here and there for some interesting content. But the most interesting thing that she is doing is that she and her sister have paid real adult money that they have in their bank account to go on the only JoJo Siwa cruise.
Oh my god.
Tonight on the JoJo Siwa cruise, it's dress as your favorite JoJo night.
Sarah's hairspray.
And we went as JoJo Siwa e Draco Malfoy. We had a bit of a hair malfunction. But overall, we pretty much slay.
So these are two adult women. I would say they're probably around 26, 27 years old. They are dressed up as JoJo Siwa, who was dressed up as Draco Malfoy. So it's Malfoy Inception. And it is for the theme night on the JoJo Siwa cruise, which sounds like a fake sentence. Now, I'm sure you're wondering, Abby, what other activities are taking place on the JoJo Siwa cruise? And to that I say, a concert, various performances, bow making classes.
She's on her... Oh, I thought it was like for fans and enthusiasts of JoJo Siwa to not join... I didn't know she would be on her own cruise.
JoJo Siwa is on the JoJo Siwa cruise as specified.
Shockingly.
I'm really shocked.
She doesn't have something better to like, do. She can't be doing that. What I was thinking is like, you know how every cruise has a prison and a morgue? I'm like, what gets you sent to jail on the JoJo Siwa cruise?
On the barge?
Yeah.
They're just in like a shipping container.
I feel like you have to be like breaking some kind of dress code. Like your bow's too small. You don't have enough glitter on. It looks like your outfit is something that a real adult would wear. Like you're not wearing your government issued tutu or something.
You switch your sexual orientation one too many times.
You have to have a crush on one of the Love Island cast members. And I would like to now show you Heidi's video of her expressing just how life-changing that performance on the JoJo Siwa cruise was.
Can I ask you real quick before you do that?
Yeah.
They're definitely there, ironically. Or
that
are they the biggest
be
JoJo
my
Siwa
exact
fan?
Question,
so
right?
That's
is it,
that.
Is it for the memes or
no,
what?
This is not a meme. She like loves JoJo Siwa. She like loves JoJo Siwa.
Dream guest on my podcast.
There is literally nobody on earth like her. Like, I was just started crying watching her because I'm like, look at this girl who gets insane amounts of online hate, who is now on stage just literally being
literally
the queen
saying,
that she is.
I don't care about what they say. I'm going to come back like a boomerang.
And then, like, she literally does. She literally comes back like a boomerang. I'm, like, so proud of her. Also, she gave me her bracelet.
Yeah.
I don't know if she wants it back. I can't.
Is this all because the only place JoJo Siwa was legally allowed to perform is in international waters?
Just not in the Love Island villa because her boyfriend was on Love Island. Here's my thing. So we can all hee hee ha ha laugh laugh. But what I will say is I wish I loved anything this much to want to spend money to go hang out on a cruise with my favorite niche internet celebrity, which I know JoJo Siwa is bigger than niche internet celeb status, but I hadn't even heard of the JoJo Siwa cruise up until I saw Heidi raving about it. But my question is, am I being a hater or is there something to being a little bit weirded out by these grown adults dressing up like toddlers, enjoying what I'm seeing to be like juvenile entertainment?
You're not a bad person, but you are being an asshole, but I support it. Also, I don't know if you guys are familiar with World of T-shirts, but for a long time he was doing New York bar crawls that you'd pay for a $50 ticket to. I wanted to go to it worse than anything. And it's basically just watch him get drunk and he's going to throw up. And it seems like a disgusting, terrible time. But I wouldn't go to it as a hater. I would go to it like it's a spectacle.
I don't know if you, Rebecca or Abby, are familiar with World of T-shirts, but this is just someone who is very publicly filming their own demise in real time. And so I feel like by you supporting that, is that you're not hating. I know you're there to support, but does it feel wrong to be
yes.
supporting that?
Yes, there's a wrong factor to it. But also, he's on the up and up. He's sober. He's good.
No way.
Oh, yeah. All he does is cuts ads now. Every video he posts, he's making like pizza in a pizza place. He's like, buy my World of T-shirts coin.
Attaboy. All right, cool. I'm happy to hear that.
Abby, I don't think that you're a hater. I think this is objectively quite eccentric. But one thing that does come to mind is if these two girls showed up with like a
a note from their doctor, like if they were on love on the spectrum, we'd be like crying and happy for them. But because they like are neurotypical and like JoJo Siwa, we're like, that's weird. That's bizarre and cringe.
It's that's also really just funny. It's one of those things that you know that if men had this same niche interest, we would be like, this is concerning. But because it's women, I'm like, oh, this is just making them really happy. I'm no, a little weirded out by it, but I'm also like, oh, this is the thing that brings them joy. And I don't want to hate on it. But also, I don't know, at what point are you supposed to grow out of things like this?
Well, according to Rebecca, you have to be autistic in order for you to actually be a fan of JoJo Siwa.
Breaking news, you can only be happy and enjoy certain interests if you're autistic. Is that what Look, you're saying?
Everyone has their niche watches. I assume and I hope you're not like commenting and making crazy notions publicly like that or DMs.
No, I'm just bringing it on my podcast.
Yeah, no, we're talking about it publicly currently.
Yeah. Well, that's different. but yeah, I mean, I don't know. Cool. I don't think it's wrong. But everyone hate watches things.
How much for you guys to go on the JoJo Siwa cruise? I would pay. I'll be on the side of pay. You don't have to pay me, but I'd pay $50. It seems like a hell of a story to walk away with, but I can't pay very much for it.
Just for the story, sure, I'd pay $50.
And probably like a dry cleaning fee for my clothes after they've been glitter bombed.
Oh, yes.
Watch it, Jackson.
On account of the glitter.
Abby's next Girls Gone getaway, JoJo Siwa cruise.
Would actually be sick.
I unironically have a friend who would be very down to go on this.
On the JoJo Siwa cruise?
Yes. Like, okay, mostly ironically, but she would be making videos just like those girls, very excited to see JoJo Siwa in front of her dancing because she is like the number one dance mom's stan. And she's just always followed JoJo Siwa's career. And it's like her vocal tic is that Betty Davis Eyes song that was like on TikTok. Betty Davis Eyes! So Rachel, who you all know, would love to go on the JoJo Siwa cruise.
That's what we're doing. That's instead of going to Nice, France next year, we're going on the JoJo Siwa cruise.
Which actually is just taking laps around Lake Lanier.
Oh, for real.
Yeah, we're thinking they're on the Royal Caribbean cruise, and in reality, they're just taking like a catamaran around.
That's why it's a pontoon boat on a lake.
So ironically, then the stage actually is a pretty good size for that pontoon boat. So
fair.
Shout out JoJo Siwa, shout out Heidi. Keep doing what you love, and I'm just an asshole.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Now, the one thing you want to do to be able to switch up your lingo when you're in conversation, if you want people to think you're whimsical, to think you're interesting, you got to start incorporating bits into your everyday life. Mikey?
Not me.
Jackson?
I love a good bit, okay? And by bit, I mean when it's just something you've incorporated into your routine of conversation when things happen to you out in the world, you know? And I feel like I've been seeing more and more people come out and talk about these sort of fun things that they do in conversation. And so I wanted to ask you guys, one, to come up with bits of your own, or two, if you actually utilize bits in your day-to-day life. Do you guys consider yourself bit people? I figured you all are.
I'm bit
Hashtag
heavy.
Bitter right here.
I like a bit, but I think it's less about bits and more about like jokes that I overuse.
That's fair. I mean, recycle. I mean, like, I always think of bits as like that kind of cringy, embarrassing thing that your dad would throw into conversation or like out in public, but funny. But somehow it's still ironically funny to go the dad joke route now, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Triple reverse.
For me, something that I used like three times at brunch today was my new "That's What She Said" has been replaced by, and not in a fun way. So like we were out there sweating our asses off and we were both like, wow, we're so like damp right now. And I said, and not in a fun way.
It's perfect example.
That's
perfect
good. Bit.
Perfect, really perfect bit. I love that. So who else has other bits that they would like to share?
Well, on account of the, you just made me think of that. If it's like as hot as balls outside, you got to hit them with the, I'm freezing. I'm cold. You got to hit them with a little twist-a-rooney for them. Come on. They love it. The people, they love it.
Oh, yeah. And then if you really want to double down on it, if it's really hot or if it's really cold outside, again, replace it vice versa. You can say, man, I wish it was hotter out, actually. I actually wish it was warmer.
Yes. It's these subtle, kind of stupid, very sarcastic just things to say out in public. And so one of the ones that I use a lot is anytime that I see my friends out in public, or this happened, this is the most recent example of when I used this when I was traveling last week. I boarded my flight a little bit earlier than two of my friends. And so I was already on the plane and then they're walking down the aisle and I very loudly proclaim, hey, it's me, Jackson. Remember me from high school? And I say that super loudly. And I do that very often, I think, out in public.
That's on planes, mean. I say, I'm a bomb, I'm a bomb, I'm a bomb.
Okay, all right.
Great bit.
Great bit.
So when you brought this to us, I could not think of any bits like off the top of my head, but luckily I have bits with my friends and sisters and boyfriends to the point that I feel like if you don't have bits in your relationship, it's a red flag. And now I am in competition with other couples on how many bits that I can have and bit off. So
bit off more than you can chew.
Good bit.
Mine are really dumb. But here, one of my favorite ones is when someone says something that you like really agree with, like you could like clock it. You could say like, that's tea. Instead, you become like I'm trying to think about what this person is called, like in Lord of the Rings, like the evil like mage that's next to the king after the king says something. And you go, quiet, quiet, my liege.
That's good. I like that.
That's a good one.
You go, ghost, quiet, my lord. Well said. And then, okay, so if you ask someone a question, like if I was like, Jackson, how much do you pay for rent? And then you told me, and then you were like, how much do you pay for rent? So let's do it. Jackson, how much do you pay for rent?
You know, around $800.
And then you ask, how much? Come on.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. There's the bit part of this whole thing. Yeah, about $800. How much do you spend on rent?
I don't see how that's any of your business.
I like it. Solid.
Flip
that's
it on
a fun one.
That's a good one. That's okay. A good one.
I've one that's not mine.
Okay, go ahead. Go.
It's not mine, but I've been doing everything I can to incorporate this into conversations. It's so hard to remember, though. But it's this guy, Willie D, that he had a big video on this. But his friends walk in. I guess they're having rice pilaf for dinner. And his friend walked in also with rice pilaf. He said, hey, you guys got rice pilaf too? And he goes, they made a rice pilaf too? It can work in a lot of ways. Like, hey, do you want one too? They made a one too.
Like, oh my
God. I love it so much, but it's so hard to remember to use it.
That's like a better version of when someone's like, I'm hungry. And someone's like, and then the person goes, hi, hungry. Hey, hungry. Nice to meet you. This is like a level two of that.
Oh my gosh. We are becoming our parents. We're just rebranding it.
I think that genuinely is what it is. One that I do that I don't even think is very funny at all, but I do it every single time, is whenever I'm out in public at like a bar or a restaurant and somebody drops a plate or breaks a glass and it's like this kind of loud commotion, I will always hold my hand up and say, my bad, that's on me. Sorry, guys, really? That's my bad. And I feel like it takes the embarrassment off the person who broke the thing, and then it sort of just like evens out sort of the setting.
There's a lot of those. There's a lot of that because you can do mazel tov.
I was going to say, I do mazel tov, yeah. Even though I'm not even remotely Jewish.
Generous bit.
Or you can go, opa.
Opa.
One okay, that I love want, doing oh, sorry. Because I love doing this because women are so specific about what kind of stemware their drinks come in when they're out at a bar. And so I saw some girl post about this on TikTok and I thought it was objectively hysterical and I have now branded it as my own. So shout out to you. I can't remember your username on TikTok, but she will always ask what outfit her drink is coming in. Like, you know how people want like want a specific glass for their wine, like they want like a crisp thin wine glass. They'll be like, so what outfit does it come in?
That's funny.
So cute.
I like that. I always like throwing out ever since the incident and just staring blankly off into space.
That's good. That's good.
I have one that's more involved, and my sisters have been using it against me for like, I don't know, 10 years. And I keep forgetting that this is what they're doing. But every time I ask for a movie recommendation from them, they say one of two movies. They either say Hassling Georgina or The Beaconing Hour, which are fake movies starring a man named Richard Craig, who they say is the voice of my generation. And then for like a whole like 30 minutes after, they just talk about Richard Craig and what a list star he is and how good he was in The Beaconing Hour. And they don't answer my question and they gaslight me. So that's fun.
That's a funny bit.
Yeah.
I like that. Tell them to keep doing that.
The Hassling Hour or The Beaconing Hour and Hassling Georgina starring Richard Craig. If you ever need a movie.
Yeah, check it out on Letterboxd. I'm sure the reviews are highly involved and critically acclaimed. Okay, Rebecca and her boyfriend Kyle, they got in their first fight after living together, and it might have everything to do with this podcast.
I love it.
So
don't you love to see other couples fight? Yeah, you guys are on thin ice over there.
Ooh, would hate to be you right now.
Oh, God. Yeah, we're fighting. And I think we're not actively fighting. We had one fight. Okay, we're not fighting.
Uh-oh.
But you guys,
paradise. There goes the honeymoon phase.
There goes the neighborhood.
We had a fight about Attack on Titan. The show that I was making him watch and moved into my apartment so that we could marathon together. And you guys kind of called this because I think someone was like, if you're like watching him watch it, it's like the most annoying thing ever. And that is kind of exactly what I was doing. But we were sitting there like on a gorgeous Thursday afternoon, nothing to do. It's like work's over. We don't have to eat yet. So I was like, want to watch an episode of Attack on Titan? And he kind of went, gave a little sigh, like, and he said, yeah.
For the folks back home, real quick, you had wanted your boyfriend to watch this show. You guys finally moved in together. You started making him watch it. You came on here and told us that, and we interrogated you. And yeah, you're making it miserable for him, and you're like staring at him in the face and saying like, "Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Is that correct?" Yes.
Wasn't that funny? did you catch that part? Did you see what just happened? Hey, remember that? That's gonna be important later.
I want to experience it through him. But then he had that reaction, and I was like, we don't have to watch it. Do you not want to watch it? And he said something.
He's like, I don't know. It feels like we have to watch it.
I know.
Yeah. He's like, I'll be watching it, but you're going to be watching me.
And now Rebecca's feelings are hurt from that.
No. Here's what he said, and I took this really personal, and I want to know if I took it too personal or if you would feel the same way. He said, like, you're like doing something or you have like someone who like really wants to watch something or really wants you to like something. And then it kind of like makes you like not like it as much because someone's like kind of like almost like forcing it on you or like too excited about it. And I was like, okay, so great. I'm really excited about something and that makes you want to watch it less. Great. Fuck me. I immediately took it so personally. I was like, great. This thing that I'm like really excited about, you just like are not excited about it because I'm excited about it. Okay, great. Fine. Love you.
Did you say it? Did you say that?
I didn't say it like that. That's how it was going in my head. It came out.
And that's how it came across.
And that's how it said on my face and through my mouth.
No. And then he was like, no, babe, no. It wasn't like, he was like, no, it's not like that. It's like, you've never experienced this before. And I was like, no, when someone's excited to show me something, I'm excited because they're excited. And then it turned into like a little bit of an argument where he's like, I like Attack on Titan. I just don't want to watch it as much as you do. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, you don't like it. You're lying. You don't even love me.
You hate me.
I know immediately how you can fix this. And if you really want him to enjoy Attack on Titan as much as you do, I think you got to level the playing field. I think he has to force you to watch something that he's really excited about that you wouldn't have otherwise watched. And that way you guys can go tit for tat. So you can put yourself in his shoes and you can see how he's feeling. And maybe you end up liking something that he really likes too.
You know what? That's why this is making me angry, because goddamn, if he did not make me watch fucking Skyrim. Like, I hate Skyrim. I don't want to watch someone play Skyrim. No. Like, sit on the couch and be like, look how cool this is. Don't you want to play? Don't you want to make your own little lizard person?
So then you understand this completely. Then you've had this feeling. That's exactly what he's going through.
One-to-one comparison, and you're complaining that you don't like doing it.
Okay.
Exhibit A.
Fair. Something I did not consider. But it's
I like how we always
good.
Have Kyle's back in this on this
yeah,
show.
We do.
We got him.
It is because he's right in this scenario, and immediately was like, listen, I like Attack on Titan. It's just like I can't.
I just
do
don't
it
like you.
Every day. No, we did get to a good place where I felt like I sort of understood where he was coming from, and now he's like, as a peace offering, has been like, let's watch an episode, and I'm like, yeah.
Oh my god! Like,
no, but doesn't that make it worse for you that he's guilt watching it now with you?
Okay, we watched season 2, episode 1, and he was like, you know what? This episode really actually turned it around for me. This one was like really exciting. And I'm like, are you just saying that, or do you actually like
no,
it?
No, that's such an empty thing to say, because the first episode of that show is literally one of the greatest pieces of television history. And if
I
he's
know.
Saying that on season 2, that's a lie.
He's
just placating to you.
He's thrown in the towel. He's giving
up. Oh, no. You have a lot more show to watch, by the way.
Yeah, Rebecca, I have advice for you. The way that you can actually make this bearable for him. Sometimes we implement this rule. If there's something I really want her to watch, no phones, let's just watch the TV. If I can tell she's hating it, I'm like, we're going to keep watching this, but you can be on your phone. Let him be on his phone.
No!
No! You're giving him his adult pacifier?
Literally. I want to experience this together. We came to a conclusion, which is like, me, personally, I could watch like 3 or 4 episodes like of an anime and binge it and sit there and really enjoy it. He's the kind of guy who could do like 2 tops. He doesn't want to do that. Like, he wants to do something else. So I was like, okay, fine. I'm not going to try to like force you to watch like a bunch of episodes at once anymore. If he can take it at like a bite-sized piece and go through it, he'll enjoy it and we'll have fun together and everyone will be happy in the house.
I have one final tip for you to make this work, literally.
Tell me.
And you basically have to use the Pavlov's dog rule?
Pavlov's law.
Oh, yeah.
Pavlov's dog rule, where you basically have to have some kind of positive feedback loop, where if he finishes an episode, something good happens. So I think the way that you get him hooked on this TV series is at the end of every episode, you guys bang. And then and that he subconsciously associates Attack on Titan with getting laid.
Oh yeah, or cook him dinner or something is fine too.
Yeah, maybe a crisp high five.
He is going to hear the theme song and pop a boner. So I don't want that to happen.
The worst thing in the world.
Yeah. Or you can always just play JoJo Siwa's songs to get him going.
Besides.
No, but I understand your passion for wanting him to like it, because the second I started watching Off Campus in the studio while I was doing my literal job, and Scotty was like, what are you watching? I'm like, Off Campus, it's so good. You have to watch it. I know you're not going to, but you have to watch it. And then when he watched it and said it was one of the greatest shows he's ever seen, I was like, see, this is why you listen to me.
Yeah, that's such a good feeling. Listen, if you look at Kyle, and the odds of him liking Attack on Titan are like very high versus not high.
Basically 100.
Yeah.
For sure.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Anyway, segue. I do have some big news, and I wanted to talk about it last week, but it wasn't like it wasn't completely confirmed. I hadn't had everything come back really. But now I can officially come on here and announce that I am 2 years cancer free.
Let's go.
And this is
we love.
Yes. I mean, I honestly, I can't believe it. It's something that it feels surreal. It's a big statistic, which is why I kind of bring it up. 2 years is a big milestone where the chance of a recurrence drops quite significantly. So making it to this point, I mean, I've been looking forward to it for obviously a really long time, 2 years.
Roughly 2 years?
Roughly 2 years, if you can believe it. Yeah. So if you don't know my story, I was diagnosed with tongue cancer in October of 2023. I had radiation. I had chemo. I had my tongue. I forget what the word is now. It's been so long. I had it resected, portion of it, and a portion of my wrist now exists as my tongue. I had immunotherapy for a year and a half because immediately after treatment, I had a recurrence in one of my lymph nodes, which is like a very rare thing to happen that they did not expect. But my care team immediately jumped into action and took care of it. And I am now 2 years cancer free. And this is the first time I've ever said that I'm cancer free, because for a really long time, I've only felt comfortable saying that I have clear scans. Because it's funny how I feel like a lot of people have been touched by cancer. They know someone who's had cancer. They have experience with cancer, but a lot of people don't understand that. Like, for a lot of cancers, you have a 5-year window, and within that 5-year window, if you have clear scans for 5 years, then you are pretty much officially deemed cancer-free from the cancer that you had diagnosed. So that's why people say in remission. I've never had a doctor say you're cancer-free, because they will not say that before you have 5-year clear scans. But 2-year clear scans is like one of the big milestones, because it's most likely to come back within that first 2 years. So finally, now that I'm 2 years through, it feels like I have the confidence to say that I'm cancer free and that this is like never coming back. And
that's so awesome.
It's amazing. And I feel like it's such a full circle moment, because I mean, this journey started literally in the Burt Show studio. I was sitting next to Katie and Kaylee when I got the test result that said malignant. And I remember Katie literally looked it up and was like, it doesn't have to mean cancer. Like, maybe it's like inflammation or something, and trying to like make me feel better. I talked about the biopsy the week before on air like a freaking idiot, because I didn't know what a biopsy was. I had zero idea that like a biopsy is like what they do to check for cancer. I guess hindsight is 20/20. It just kind of feels important to me to talk about what this journey has felt like, because I'm now at this point after 2 years where I don't feel so hung up about the trauma of what I've been through, because it was traumatic and it was terrible and it was painful and it was scary. I'm now at a point where I always thought that every day I would think about the fact that I had cancer, because I have weird shit. I've got a weird tongue. I've got scars all over my body, but it's just not true. I don't think about it as much anymore. I feel like I'm a normal person again. This is my new normal. And sure, my mouth is really dry and I have to drink a lot of water and I've lost 100 pounds. All maybe 2 out of 3 good things. But I don't remember the trauma of having cancer and treatment anymore. I'm just living my best life. I've come out like on top of this mountain after climbing it for so long. And it's like I can see the sky again. And there's a conflict in me where I want people to know what I've been through, because I feel like that helps people to have an informed like idea of who I am. But I also want to celebrate like where I am now. So I'm going to wrap this up, but there's one thing I wanted to share, because when I first got my cancer diagnosis, I got a letter from my former boss. She sent me a letter because she was a cancer survivor. And in the letter, she had advice for me that was like listed. And I want to share three of the things that I have found really, really helpful to people who are cancer survivors or people going through cancer or going through treatment, because this stuff really helped me. And hearing from someone who is clear, I mean, that's like the most optimistic, helpful, hopeful thing in the world. So I'm just going to share it really quickly. And I have three things. And number one is, you might have cancer, but you don't have to be an advocate. You don't have to run. You don't have to raise money. You don't even have to talk about it. All you have to do is process it on your own, because this is your own unique journey. You don't have to wear pink. You don't have to have a ribbon. None of that. This is your thing that you're going through. And don't let anyone tell you that you have to be a certain way or feel a certain way or do anything. That being said, I love Emory Winship Cancer Institute, and it was the best place for me. And they took care of me and they cured me. And I am so thankful for them forever. Okay. Number two is like one of the most important things ever on this list that someone told me. And that is that when you are diagnosed with cancer, people are going to say things to you out of the goodness of their heart. They're going to be trying to help you, and it's not going to help you. It's going to scare the shit out of you, because every person has a family member or a cousin or a friend who had cancer or knows a specialist and they went through cancer, or they know your story and this is what happened to them. And they're going to be trying to give you advice, and it's not going to be helpful. It's only going to scare you. Don't listen to those people. You don't have to listen. You can ignore them, because your story is your own, and what happened to other people does not affect what's going to happen to you. So feel free to set boundaries, because those people are going to scare you and they don't understand what they're talking about. So live your truth, diva, and slay. And finally,
but she said that.
That's what I said. That's an addendum, a Rebecca addendum.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha. You added a little something on there at the end.
Really, she only said the, and you've just extrapolated all of your own advice on top of this.
Yes. And finally, it's so, so annoying, but it's true that you have to be patient and you have to be positive, because being positive, it helps. It helps recovery. It helps your health. It helps you to go to these appointments, get infusions, and be at your best self. And in my experience, when being supported and having people supporting me and leading with humor, it did heal me. It helped me. It helped me go through radiation 33 times. And it just like has a real effect. And I hate when people are like, oh, be positive, be optimistic. Like, you know, that helps so much. But it's true. It's totally true. And you can do this, because I did it. And my God, I am so weak. Like, I am so weak, and I'm such a loser, and I'm so pessimistic, and I did it. So I know you can do it too. So that's the end of my spiel. I'm very happy to be 2 years cancer free.
You know, Rebecca, if you wanted to lose 100 pounds, we could have just gotten you on Ozempic. Like, we could call the guy. I'm just kidding.
Where was Ozempic, honestly, when I was quite fat?
Well, we're so proud of you, and thank you for sharing your experience, because I know it's not easy to talk about, because, you know, kind of a hard thing to go through that treatment for so long. And we're really happy that you're cancer free. Hell yeah.
Thank you.
Let's go.
I think you had told us that your 2 year scan was coming up. I'm not sure about the other two, but I failed to get an update from you. So my bad on that. But I saw it on your story and I was like, she's good. Good for Rebecca. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Mikey. Thank you.
Rebecca, I'm curious, when you like, this was, I guess for me personally, the first time that like I had been close with and communicating with someone on a more regular basis throughout their journey. And like, when you think back to how we as your peers handled the news and the updates and everything like that. Do you think that there are things we could have done differently, things we did well on? Because I think a lot of me was either not talking about it at all, just to move past it and talk about other things so that that wasn't the main part of what I knew you as. But also trying to think about how to be supportive at the same time, if that makes sense. So is there anything about that you can speak on?
I think everyone I was around helped tremendously. Honestly, having listeners from the Burt Show supporting me was like a gigantic help that I did not expect. But being able to go in and like when I came back after recovering and like joking around with you guys and like talking to you and not having to talk just about like cancer, which had been on my mind 24/7, that was extremely helpful to me. I think leading with the person who is going through what they're going through is the best advice I can give. If they are not talking about cancer, don't bring it up. If they want to talk about it and want to vent or joke or say something, then gab with them. I think just listening sometimes can be very helpful, but being a distraction and being a friend and talking about some like bullshit instead of like the serious thing that they're dealing with is extremely helpful.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Do we want to wrap there?
I know. We never end on such a sentimental note. I'm like, I don't know what to do if we're not making jokes about like balls or Mikey's hair or right. Rebecca's boyfriend's boners.
Oh, they're huge. They're gigantic. Don't worry about it.
It's so huge.
That's a bit you guys love doing.
Yeah. Oh my God, you're right.
How did we miss that? That's literally my favorite bit that Rebecca does. Okay, well, stick around next week for our Inhumane Resources advice segment. Mikey, what's it going to be about this next week?
Hey, thanks, Abby. This coming week, we got a lady. She's getting married. She's got a friend. They're having mental health issues and traveling the country and won't respond to any phone calls. What does she do? Does she ditch her? Does she help her? What happens?
I feel like we are not the people they should be calling.
You will not believe what zany shenanigans they get into on this next episode of the Personality Hires Podcast.
Road Dogs edition.
Call the mental health crisis hotline. Stop calling us. So we'll get to it when we circle back next week. But don't forget to follow us at Personality Hires Podcast on Instagram and email us all your drama at personalityhirespodcast@gmail.com. See you next week. And congratulations, Rebecca.
Woo! Shout out, Rebecca. Hell yeah. Congratulations.
Thanks, guys.
Pioneer.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.